This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
It's being called Ian the Horrible, as Hurricane Ian has left 2.5 million people without power. But how many people have lost their lives? At this point, now it's about going back into some places and determining what has happened, especially Lee County. It was one of the areas that was hit the hardest, and the damage is going to be absolutely catastrophic. Collapsed buildings, flooding, down power lines, impassable roads, all of this being reported. Hey, hey, everybody. Kate Delaney, thanks for your well wishes. It's not a drill. I am going through my first hurricane as a resident. Do you believe it? And I evacuated, and apparently my neighborhood is pretty good, pretty intact. Not sure about the power. That's one thing, lots of debris and whatnot, but otherwise pretty good. So thanks for all of your thoughts and prayers and everything else that you sent my way. Of course, now I'm evacuated in Orlando. There's major flooding and just incredible wind gusts. I took the dog out for a walk this morning because nature calls, and you know, you're in a hotel. And we didn't get too far before we were slammed with 50 mile an hour winds, and boy, he stood right up in that. It was the weirdest thing to see this little dog. He's like 50 pounds, I want to say, to watch him stand up. But anyway, it was a lighter moment for me, and it was sort of a scary moment too as I started to fall to the ground. But we're fine. Everything's good from that perspective. The 2.5 million people in Florida without power, they're talking once again, sounds so familiar, just like, although not quite as bad as when we were in Texas, but talking about the grid and talking about power trucks coming in. The good news is Florida was definitely prepared, and there are trucks ready to roll in some areas. They're already coming in. They're putting up cell towers because, of course, people across the country are trying to reach out to people in Florida to see if they're safe. And, you know, if you don't have the cell connection, that's just a whole nother thing. So it's a dangerous tropical storm still in carving its way through central Florida, which includes Orlando and many of the areas just outside of that. It made landfall the other day in southwest Florida as a Cat 4 hurricane on Wednesday afternoon. It weakened overnight. It'll exit through the northeast coast at the tail end of the day and approach the coasts of Georgia and South Carolina. While you're listening to that, that's exactly what's happening on Friday. So catastrophic damage, you know, with the hurricane force winds, people without power, the 2.5 million central Florida inundated with rainfall, 8 to 12 inches, maybe even another couple more. So then it's flash flooding. That is the big concern there, and there already has been flash flooding. My phone is like an alert button. It's crazy. But, you know, now it's about the rescues. Now it's about the calls for help that had to go unanswered. It's clearing the streets. It's about people figuring it out and as to what's happened to their property. And, of course, I always say this, and, you know, if you've listened to the show, you get whiplash from the weather. But we care about human life first, right? Property, all of that can be figured out. It's awful. It's devastating. But more devastating would be losing a loved one because they stayed behind, they got caught in floodwaters, or whatever happened to them. It's, you know, there's going to be tales of this. There is a woman, a 75-year-old woman, who died, or man rather, who died because he was trying to do something with a pool, and the area that he was on was drenched, and he fell down like an embankment area. So, and I mean, this is the things that are happening because the ground is so soft. We just came through the rainy season, and then you worry about the trees and trees toppling. So there was a storm surge warning in effect for the St. Johns River in northeast Florida. There were so many other areas, the same thing, the tropical storm warnings, all of that. You know, the areas stretching from Boca Raton to Cape Lookout, North Carolina, they've got this the tropical storm that they're dealing with. And again, it depends on these different pockets. You know, and here's a strange thing, another slice of life thing. people love their football teams. You know, we do Nail the Score, which we couldn't do this week, but we'll do next Tuesday in our final segment of our first hour. Even if you hate football, or you don't hate it, but you don't know football, it's a fun guessing game. I pick the game of the week, who's going to win, you pick who's going to win, and what the score is, and you can win incredible fun prizes anyway, and bragging rights. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a practice in Miami, and, you know, many of them, of course, have homes in Tampa Bay or close to Tampa Bay. And there was some wind damage and that kind of stuff. And, you know, you even have a running back who I think is awesome. I watched him in his days in college. But Leonard Fournette, who was born in New Orleans, and he has been talking about the impact and the devastation of Hurricane Katrina when it hit the Gulf Coast in 2005 and took the lives of so many people, over 1,800 people. And he said, I've been through this as a kid, Katrina. I know how severe and serious it is. He said, I just thank God we got out and we're praying for the families that are left behind, that are there. Punta Gorda was one of those places, a little ways from Tampa. But the Punta Gorda city water system is empty. They put out boil water notices. That's part of the impact of this hurricane, to give you an idea of it. The water system pumps at a rate of 13 million gallons a day, can't keep up with it. So they're setting up a fill station for people at the city water plant, and then they'll start the system once the damaged pipes are repaired. And see, Punta Gorda is the county seat of Charlotte County, which has more than 90% of its customers without power because they got hit really badly. And that's a lot of older folks who could afford to get their little slice of heaven there. And it, just good people, solid people. I spent a lot of time there with the Rangers in spring training. And so, you know, there was a lot of calls to 911, emergency calls. They're basically in triage mode is what they're saying, because they had people trapped by water in their homes, people that couldn't get out or didn't get out in time. This is a lot of the stories. You know, look, you have debris in the roadways in Fort Myers. You have flooding. You have electrical lines down, power poles in the roads, traffic lights out, cars that are just disabled. I saw that outside of where I'm staying. You see a whole giant flood of water and a car coming over a bridge. They had to abandon the car. They couldn't go through the water. The building collapses. That's sad. That's a big concern. And, you know, the governor said just on Wednesday that in his press conference, Governor DeSantis, that 911 calls might not be answered right away in some areas because local first responders can't be deployed when it's not safe. The storm has to pass, and then they go into the situations, but they can't go into a situation for a rescue and put themselves at risk when you have the floodwaters, the high floodwaters happening, you know, right at that moment, calling 911. You're not going to get that response. That's why the concern is, when everything is cleared out, what will be the loss of life? Certainly nothing like Katrina, but you would assume, and maybe not, which would be a wonderful thing, that some of those people that got trapped just could not, they just had too much water. And that water is the thing that becomes so deadly and so dangerous in these scenarios. That the trees coming down, the power and the water and all of that combined. And then, of course, as the governor said, and this is true, people going back to see what happened, trying to get back to where they live, and then you've got wires down. You have situations that are just dangerous. All right, there's other things happening in the world, to be sure. A couple of notable deaths. We're going to talk about that next.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hey, trader, listen up. The markets have changed. Have you changed your trading strategies? Vantage Point can help you conquer volatility. Learn to trade with artificial intelligence. Text the word money to 813-813 and discover how to predict stock market trends 1 to 3 days in advance with up to 87.4% proven accuracy. No matter which way the market moves, Vantage Point's patented AI can give you a massive edge. Text money to 813-813 to get what you need to stay ahead of markets and find your best entries and exits. Text the word money to 813-813.
Trading involves financial risk and is not suitable for all investors. Past results do not guarantee future performance. By texting, you agree to the terms available at VantagePointSoftware.com/terms and consent to receive calls and texts using automated technology about offers or info by or on behalf of Vantage Point. Your consent is not a condition to purchase and can be revoked at any time. Message and data rates may apply.
Text money to 813-813.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com, 818-965-9113, drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
Us. His book is called Adam and Eve, The Rest of the Story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. We had such a good conversation off the air, I jotted down some notes and actually passed his book on to a couple of people because there's just so much you don't know about the history and the implications. So, Rabbi, thanks so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
Let's talk about, first of all, your path to writing this book. Why'd you write the book?
As we had spoken, it started actually as a teenager when listening to a lecture from my father, who was a rabbi until he passed away. He's speaking about the Old Testament, specifically one of the stories, Joseph and his brothers, and I was so fascinated by the approach. It wasn't the classic, you know, childhood story or the things you hear otherwise. It was with insights, with personality. There was an analysis of the status of their family situation and how it worked into the politics of the time. I was just blown away. And it started with that. And from there on in, I just kept on looking at the Old Testament as not just a set of, you know, fables or stories. I mean, from an Orthodox perspective, we take it as truth and we believe the stories. But all of a sudden, I'm seeing them as human, as real. And as I got older and more, a little more sophisticated and got a lot of training in psychology, etc., things just became clearer and clearer to me about the stories. And that was my first entree into this work, you know, this adventure, actually, of how to look at the Old Testament.
And, you know, it's interesting in looking at the Old Testament, too, and listening to the story about your father and listening to how it comes to life. I mean, is that what made you decide, I'm going to become a rabbi because you were so raptured by all of these stories, etc.?
Very interesting. Not really, because I, at least from one side of my family, I'm a 12th generation rabbi. So it was almost an expectation that we would all end up as rabbis, not necessarily working in community or in a synagogue or in any aspect as a rabbi. It was seen really as an advanced degree of personal growth in within the religious and the study of the Torah and et cetera and all of its attendant commentaries, et cetera. And there was an expectation, an unspoken expectation, that all the boys would receive ordination. And they did.
I love it. You know, in talking about the Old Testament, what do you think are some of the biggest misconceptions and what people don't know? Because you look at what the title of your book is, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews.
Right. There's a fundamental principle in Judaism that, and I'll say it in Hebrew and I'll translate it for you. Ein tzadik baretz asher yaaseh tov v'lo yechta. There is no righteous man ever who only did good and never sinned. Sin is fundamental to the human condition. And however we interpret sin, but let's just say not doing as God wishes, right? Not doing what's always good, you know, whether it's in thought, whether it's in action, you know, whether it's in intent. The fact is that we're not perfect. And it's that imperfection which actually makes the Torah, the Old Testament, so much more real. If you approach it as if these people were, you know, legends and they could do no wrong, then we miss out on 95% of the lesson of how great they really were.
Mm.
Because despite the shortcomings, despite the real human condition in which they existed, they rose to extraordinary spiritual heights and in heroic heights in terms of their actions and what they did to our world. And I mean collectively, not just for the Jewish world. I mean, these were forefathers of most of the world in many ways, especially starting with Adam and Eve. So that's the real secret. The secret is that the Torah talks about real people.
And what don't we know about Adam and Eve, do you think?
Well, we never really knew what motivated them to sin. I mean, think about this. Right? And let's take it all at face value. You're a creation of God. There's only two of you. There's Adam and there's Eve. You actually have a personal relationship with this entity that we refer to as God, this mysterious, unknown, spiritual entity that we attribute everything to. And he says, just don't do one thing. Don't eat from the forbidden fruit. Whatever that fruit was, let's call it an apple because it really has a good picture when it's an apple. We all can feel the crisp crunch of that apple when it's delicious, right? And they nevertheless, even though they had everything they could have asked for in the physical world, nothing else was restricted to them. They were driven to eat from that forbidden fruit. Why? For me, that was my biggest question about Adam and Eve. It wasn't who was their tailor, who made their clothes. What did they do in their spare time? I mean, that came along with it also, by the way, as you begin exploring, all those questions pop up also because they're real people, right? I mean, the next stage, which is something I'm working on at the moment, is, and from there on, you get to Cain and Abel. That's the next story. So what happened over there? It gets even more maybe involved and more real for our world, especially given what's going on today politically in the world, internationally. But these are real people. How did you make such a serious mistake that literally altered the future of humanity, at least the way Judaism, Christianity, and Islam look at it? I mean, they all attribute this failing on the part of Adam and Eve, the first two humans, who knew God on a level that none, or experienced God on a level that we never experience him, on a one-to-one basis, and yet they couldn't listen to the one commandment, don't eat from that fruit. That must have been one heck of a fruit. It was the one thing they shouldn't do, and they did it. So that tells us that that's inherent in the human condition. We just don't listen.
Yeah, no kidding. You can get the book, of course, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Adam and Eve, The Rest of the Story, Secrets from the Ancient Wisdom of the Jews. For you, what was the biggest surprise in putting this together and trying to put it into a book form and making it make sense so that people want to read it and learn from your wisdom?
I appreciate the question. I think for me, as I began writing it, I actually was able to answer my question. I was able to answer the question of what would have motivated Adam and Eve to do just that, to not listen to God. And The simple answer, believe it or not, was they actually thought that when God said no, he really meant yes, which we so often do, especially in human relations. No, 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 don't buy me that thing. No, 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 I really don't want it. Right? Really? Oh, I think you do really want it. And you're just not wanting to be, you don't want to be dependent. You don't want to tell me. You don't want to be vulnerable. So I know what you really want. And then you go out and you buy it, and it's what he or she did not want. It's, you know, just trust him. If God says don't do it, he merely means it. No means no. Yes means yes. God doesn't play that game that we play with each other all the time. I think that was my biggest takeaway from as I developed, you know, as I went through it slowly, looking at the information that the Old Testament provides, which is very limited. As I mentioned to you, the real question that I had when I started, I mean, I didn't really share the specific question, was how the heck did we blow it in four sentences? I mean, the entire episode of Adam, Eve, and the serpent, whatever he or she was, that serpent, that thing was, right? All of a sudden, failure. Humanity fails in the course of four verses in the Old Testament, six verses in the Old Testament. How is that possible? There's got to be more to the story. And that's why I went looking, and I sort of developed what I felt would be the progression from no, 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 to he really wants to challenge us to see how much we love him. And if we really love him, we won't even listen to him, because in the end, we'll understand him better. So to understand him better is the goal. So when he says no, he really says, okay, how much do you really want to understand me? You should be willing to take a chance. Guess what? He really meant no.
Yeah,
he didn't want you to take a chance.
He really meant no. I love this. We have like 30 seconds left. What do you hope people take away from reading this book? And I think you said it throughout this conversation.
Yeah. I hope even more than that. I believe that. I really hope that people walk away and say, you know something? There's something fundamental here that shows a shared beginning for all of us. Whether you're Christian, Jewish, Islam, Muslim, whatever walk of life, that there's something that's so fundamental to each of us and real to each of us that brings us together as a single entity. And that maybe we should look at that and think more about what makes us the same than what makes us different.
Perfect place to end this. Rabbi, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. It was a pleasure talking to you.
You don't sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. 800-507-3137. That's 800-507-3137.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News.
I'm Tony Marusso reporting. President Biden says our entire country hurts after Hurricane Ian flooded parts of Florida. The storm also displaced many people and took out power lines. Rob Godet with the Cajun Navy Foundation says the group's teams did 30 rescues so far and have at least 350 pending requests. He says the teams are in Fort Myers and moving inland. Tropical Storm Ian is expected to become a hurricane again before making landfall for a second time, most likely in South Carolina. Ian is packing maximum sustained winds at 70 miles per hour, churning about 275 miles south of Charleston, South Carolina. but Ian has left its mark in much of Florida. Eric Salagi with Florida Power and Light says more than a million customers are still without power as Ian works its way to the northeastern part of the state. But crews are standing by. This is USA Radio News.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain. Okay, 25,000 cheering extras.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that? But the common person can. So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.
Topping odds and ends, of course, I know so many people are wanting to know more about the hurricane. I've been in the middle of this situation, and I talked about it at the top, and there are situations where people are without power. It's about rescuing people now. We saw the horrific video of so many having to deal with water that rushed in. They didn't leave, and they were on a ground floor, and Fort Myers was socked, and Punta Gorda was socked, as I talked about that. Port Charlotte, just wow. And we'll be talking more about that as the days go on. But this is odds and ends. So what else is happening in the world? What are things that are of concern and maybe something that you're talking about when you're not talking about the hurricane? It is weird. Somebody said to me, do we have weather porn going on? I do think it's more concern for fellow Americans or fellow human beings or the humanitarian aspect of it. But I understand the terminology, right? All right, you know how I feel about Putin, as probably most of you would put him on your evil list as well. Well, now he takes it a step further. He's set to annex Ukraine lands. He's ignoring whatever the criticism is. I mean, there's massive criticism. That's nothing new for what's been going on in his regime in many different areas, but especially since February and stepping into Ukraine and just figuring he could take it for his own and go back to the old Soviet days. But Russia is vowing to go ahead with the annexation of parts of Ukraine that the troops currently control. After the UN condemned votes, that was it. They put on another fresh idea of, well, let's just go for it. Let's do it. They're gonna sign treaties to absorb four regions in the east and southern Ukraine at a ceremony on Friday. So that's happening. President Putin's spokesperson told reporters on a conference call that he's going to make an address to legislators and other officials to announce that. They're planning a red square. It's not even funny. They're planning a red square. It's just astonishing concert to celebrate on Friday evening. and they're just talking about the annexation of it, and that's it. It's boosting, of course, pressure on Kyiv and allies. Putin has threatened to use all the means possible at his disposal to defend Russia. This is a pretty big signal. He could use nuclear weapons to protect the lands he's annexing, and that, to me, is the biggest concern, the biggest threat. Also this week, Moscow threatened to cut off the last link supplying its gas to Western Europe ahead of winter, right? Western officials blame sabotage for leaks on the pipelines. They're trying to prove that, but regardless, we know that's another aspect, that's another pawn in this whole thing. Hey, we're going to hold this over your head because we know we're coming Europe for you, since we've got the heating oil that you definitely need. While he's doing this whole annexation thing, making that official and just adding another element, another poke to the rest of the world, you have a lot of Russians that are fleeing. And why are they fleeing? They're fleeing because they're worried that the borders are going to close forever. And I think the push to enlist all those former military personnel, and they didn't want to do it, that opened, obviously, this can of worms. So that's what's happening. Dozens of cars, buses with Russian license plates, they're lined up at the border. Their passengers are hoping to make it into Finland before it's too late. The mobilization was the first sign, and we knew it, that something worse could happen. So, of course, it could be a total totalitarian state where you can't do anything. And people are realizing that because very little information, you got to remember, this is a communist country, very little information gets through that is, of course, not filtered through whatever they want to be put out there, whatever the Kremlin wants. But now so much of that, we live in a world where so much of that can get through. And Finland said at the beginning of the week that more Russians came to the country over the weekend than any other weekend so far this year, 17,000 people. So that military call-up announcement sparked the surge in all those arrivals. And they've already announced, like Helsinki announced a couple of weeks ago, that they're going to significantly restrict the entry of Russian citizens. And they're trying to finalize what that means. Now, in Finland, they don't have that restriction, but the government is meeting to decide what they're going to do. So imagine the sleepless nights. Imagine how devastating that is for so many people who just want to get across, right? I mean, right now, Finland's borders, as we've had described to us by people who have been on the show in the past, have wooden fences. But that just really is supposed to stop any kind of cattle, livestock, whatever, cows, from wandering across. Now what do they do with this surge of people? Because they want to embrace them, but they certainly can't take everyone. So they're going to have that same problem too as well. And you got to feel for the people in Russia, and especially I think it's a good thing that the information is trickling through, and the mobilization really backfired on Putin, but it also sets up the scenario where the gates close, so to speak. And we'll be talking about that a lot in the upcoming weeks. All right, on the ridiculous side, because we need sort of a chuckle, how much would you pay? And of course you'd have to have big bucks anyway, so maybe this is a ridiculous question, but my brain's a little foggy, right, with all that's going on. A T-Rex skeleton is supposed to fetch up to like $25 million at this auction at Christie's in Hong Kong in November. $25 million. What do you do with a T-Rex? I think it's cool, but what do you do with a T-Rex skeleton? It's going to happen on November 3rd. It's this dinosaur fossil. It's about 66 to 68 million years old. It would have lived a long time ago, obviously, and I just in my head think about this, but what does it weigh? It weighs like 1,400 kilograms. So do the math on that. It's 43 feet long, 16 feet tall, and it was unearthed in Montana. I remember that back in 2020. There was a price of $32 million that was paid for T-Rex Stan at Christie's in New York. So whoever gets you know, the winning bidder will get the ownership and all the assets relating to what they're calling Shen, and including permission to rename the skeleton. So I don't know, if you have just money to play with and you want a giant T-Rex and you want to be able to have naming rights of T-Rex, that would perhaps be interesting, right? I mean, to me it's fascinating, and the whole study of paleontology is pretty interesting to me. The fact that, you know, I go hiking with my nephew and like we can dig out some fossils, and he looks at a fossil and he knows, oh, this is a oyster shell from blah 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 how many years ago. And that's just a simple little thing. Imagine the T-Rex. Imagine what that was like digging that out. First of all, digging it up, and I remember that in Montana. And now what it actually goes for, and the fact that all those things are connected to it. Wow, how interesting is it? All right, speaking of fossils and then extinction, I also read an interesting thing about birds. I know a lot of people in this audience, I'm assuming some of you anyway, are fascinated by birds. Maybe you have bird feeders. Maybe you live in an area where you just like the cardinals that come into your backyard. And since I've moved to Texas and then subsequently have moved to Florida, I am fascinated by birds. And I don't know half the species, right? I know the basics. I call it the basics that we know. So I was just reading a story that half of all bird species are in decline globally. Check this out. 1 in 8 are threatened with extinction. 1 in 8. They do the State of the World's Birds Report, and has a snapshot of the plight of all these different species, and it gives you the barometer for, you know, what's threatened, what are the ones that are threatened, etc., and just bird life in general. So I'll give you an idea. The European Union has seen a net loss of 600 million birds, 18% since 1980, they say. Wow. North America, there are 2.9 billion fewer individual birds in North America than there were in 1970. That's a 29% drop. Bummer. I think it's fascinating to watch these birds. And you might think I'm crazy, but it is. I mean, look, you sit on a bench, forget your troubles, and look out, and you can see some incredible wildlife, let's face it. All right, Coolio, dead at the age of 59. So, you know, Gangster Paradise, you know that song, maybe you've heard it, maybe you haven't heard it and have no idea who he is. He definitely left his imprint, that's for sure. He had Fantastic Voyage, was another big song, and Circumstances, what happened there, the specifics of it weren't released, but the paramedics were called to his house, and when they found him unresponsive, they tried to resuscitate him. That didn't happen, and it was Coolio. So, you know, some great memories that some people that have acted with him and know his talents for the kind of music that he did have been tweeting things out all day long, including actor Lou Diamond Phillips, who offered condolences and talked about some of the memories, that he was a friend and he was a warm, funny person, and that he spent time with him together in Cape Town, and he was epic and legendary and wonderful, and, you know, so how about that? His music definitely had an impact on the genre. There's no question about that. All right, someone who I thought was an incredible journalist, Bill Plant, is dead at the age of 84, a life well lived. The CBS correspondent for half a century. He told some really good stories. He was a good storyteller. He retired from CBS News as a senior White House correspondent in 2016 after 52 years. He did 4 tours in Vietnam, just incredible reporting on the fall of Saigon and Cambodia. He was just a brilliant reporter, and I heard a really nice human being. I met him twice. He was very lovely with me, and we talked about some of the great stories that he covered. All right, stay with us, because speaking of storytellers, we have some great authors coming up next.
Ever feel
feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Steal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.
The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Pauti Arco Super Tea naturally builds good cells and kills bad cells. So, it's great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting an infection, diabetes, or cancer. To order, visit drinksupertea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. drinksupertea.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Jason Reed, his book is incredible, Rising Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I'm a big fan of his. When I started my career just outside of L.A., I read his stuff on the Dodgers at the Los Angeles Times, and then when he was with the Washington Post, he covered the then Redskins, which are now the Commanders, and you can catch his stuff on ESPN Now. He's the senior NFL writer and Scape, and of course he's been with ESPN, and you see him all over the place, and this book is really incredible. I read it from cover to cover. I learned some things I didn't know, and you're going to learn some amazing things too. So Jason, thanks for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me.
You know, Lamar Jackson, Pat Mahomes, Dak Prescott, there's a slew of quarterbacks. I'm from Philly, so I can't help it. I'm high on Jalen Hurts. I mean, I know it's really at the beginning of his career, so to speak, with the pros, but we saw what he did in college. It's a different story with the black quarterbacks now. Do you think they're getting, the black quarterbacks are getting the recognition they deserve?
Yeah, you know, I like to tell people now that there has never been a better time to be a black man who plays quarterback or aspires to play quarterback in the NFL. These guys are beloved by fans. They have the biggest contracts. Their platforms are enormous because of their success. And, you know, this has really been a journey more than 100 years in the making, because black quarterbacks or black men who aspire to play quarterback in professional sports, most successful league and professional sports, you know, most powerful league, were largely prohibited from doing it for most of the league's history. It really is a recent development. And by recent, I mean the mid to late 80s was when we really start to see black quarterbacks becoming okay, a part of the game, not considered an oddity or an outlier, that they really were, okay, people who were in the fabric of the NFL. So, yeah, a lot has changed, and we're at a point right now where, you know, in another 5 to 10 years, it would not be shocking if you saw as many as 12 to 16 superstar black quarterbacks. And by that, I mean, when you look at the college game now, you look at the traditional college powers, the Alabamas, the Ohio States, the USCs, all led by star black quarterbacks. You know, I'm a sports writer, and when I started my career, I was covering high school recruiting, and you would go to these elite high school recruiting camps for the quarterbacks, and you'd never see black faces. Now, there are superstar 4- and 5-star recruits who are black quarterbacks all over the place. So we are in the era of the black quarterback now, and the pipeline from youth football to high school football to college football, it's just going to continue to flow to the NFL. And, you know, it really is something that when you talk about the evolution of the country, you know, in terms of many issues, you can see it in the NFL with the rise of the black quarterback.
And this is an obvious question, but why did it take so long for black quarterbacks to be accepted?
You know, I talk so much about this in my discussions about the book, and I try not to oversimplify it, but it really just comes down to racism. I mean, black men in the NFL, not just in the NFL, I mean in America, were not considered to be smart enough, leaders, people who could inspire others. And by others, I mean other, you know, white people. So, you know, if you look at that, if that's the way black men were looked at in society, clearly sports are just a, you know, microcosm of society. So that's the way they were going to be looked at in the NFL. And for decades, black players were not allowed to play the so-called thinking man's positions, center on the offensive line, because the center has to make line adjustments, middle linebacker on the defense, middle linebacker is a quarterback of the defense, or safety. The safety is a quarterback of the secondary. So if black players were not allowed to play those positions, clearly they wouldn't be allowed to play the ultimate thinking man's position, which is quarterback. So, you know, it really wasn't until these owners started to see that, okay, well, the game has gotten so big now that quarterback is truly the most important position. You can't overlook anyone at that position if you want to try to win. And it was really a matter of self-preservation for general managers and coaches, because once the game exploded, and you know, when we get, you know, people forget that Major League Baseball really dwarfed the NFL for much of the previous century. But once you start getting into the 80s and the Super Bowl became this thing that occupied like all of America and the pageantry around it and the spectacle around it and these teams like, you know, the Bears and the 49ers and the Giants. Like once the NFL going into the 80s really started to overtake Major League Baseball and the money got so big, these general managers and owners could not afford to just say, well, we're not going to take this quarterback because he's black. Because if you pass over somebody who can help you win and you lose your job, you're going to be like, I wish we'd looked at that guy. So that's really the change that occurred.
Yeah. We're speaking with Jason Reed, and the book is Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. I think that is such a big part of the title of this book. If you would, because we want people to go and get it, let's whet their appetite a little bit. Tell us a couple stories in the book.
You know, well, one story, a great one, is about Warren Moon, the only black quarterback enshrined in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Now, I suspect that's going to change in the years to come, but right now he's the only one in the Hall of Fame. And you know, Warren Moon, he wasn't drafted into the NFL when he came out of, and it's so crazy when you think about it now. He was the what is now the Pacific 12 Conference. Back then it was called the Pac-8 Conference. He was the Pac-8 Conference co-player of the year, and he helped Washington win the Rose Bowl, the University of Washington, and he doesn't get drafted. I mean, that would never happen out of a major conference today, but he has to go to Canada, continue his career, goes to Canada, lights it up, wins championships, sets records passing. The then Houston Oilers, win a bidding war to get Warren to come down from Canada. And after a transition period, he had a rough first year in making that transition. But after that transition, he lights it up. He becomes a perennial Pro Bowler. He sets records. He gets into the Hall of Fame. And it's just so interesting how history might have been different, because the Dallas Cowboys, the elite scout of the Dallas Cowboys, in their draft meeting, that 1978 draft, said, hey, this guy is a guy we should draft. But black men were not being drafted to play quarterback in the NFL in the late 60s and even to the late 70s. So, or at least not in high numbers in the late 70s. And Warren Moon got passed over. How might history have been different if Warren Moon had gone to Dallas and was the quarterback after Roger Staubach instead of Danny White? I mean, Dallas fans may want to think about that. Another story I would say, contemporary one, Patrick Mahomes. Just the clout he wields and how he uses his power to push the NFL to do things that he thinks it needs to do in terms of social justice issues. He's very big in voting rights. And, I was thinking about the fact that, so many quarterbacks, he stands on the shoulders of so many quarterbacks before him who did not have the power to affect change. And the fact that he does, and the fact that he uses that power without, concern about what it might do to his brand and people who might get upset about it, it says a lot about the rise of the black quarterback.
Yeah. And now finally moving from quarterback to, we see what's happening in the NFL. Coaches, underrepresentation, obviously, same thing in the GM ranks and front office ranks, and we see the Brian Flores lawsuit. What do you think it'll take for that to change?
Well, I think people are just going to have to keep pushing. People internally in the NFL who believe that diversity and inclusion are good things from a business standpoint, those people have to keep pushing. Civil rights advocates on the externally, they have to keep pushing. Because, clearly the hiring front is the next big front. It used to be that the biggest frontier in the NFL for black men was quarterback, getting to play the quarterback position. Now the frontier that has to be conquered and tamed, so to speak, is hiring at the executive level, in football operations and business operations, and on-field hiring with coaching in terms of head coaches. So I think that, what we need to see is what we're seeing right now, but just in an ongoing basis, people continuing to push because this is the right thing to do.
Yeah. For you, last question, what was it like writing this book? Because I've said I'm a big fan. I've followed your career. You get sports. You've covered it for sports for a long time. I can imagine 70, 75 interviews, lots of conversations. So it might have been quite an undertaking. Was it fun?
It was funny. It's so funny you mentioned the number. It was over 70 interviews, and it was done over about an 18-month period, researching, reporting, writing. I've been a sports writer my whole career, a beat writer and a columnist, and I always wanted to write a book, but from a timing standpoint, then life gets in the way. You get married, you have kids, and a lot of things. But bottom line was, this is a book I had a lot of passion about. I was given time to write it, to report it, and write it in a way that I felt would do the subject matter justice. And I'm very proud of it. And I hope people will come to the book with an open mind and leave with maybe a new perspective on something that they thought they knew everything that there was to know about it.
Well said. Rise of the Black Quarterback, What It Means for America. Jason Reed, it's a pleasure to have you on. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey guys, why settle for poor quality Powdiarco that's sold by stores and online resellers when you can get Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea at drinksupertea.com or 818-965-9113. The Tahibo Tea Club's original pure Powdiarco Super Tea is only available at drinksupertea.com. 818-965-9113. 818-965-9113. That's drinksupertea.com.
Ever feel completely down on your luck, whether it's your career or just your life? Do you look at other people and wonder, why them, not me? I'm Kate Delaney. I did it. I admit it. I've learned some valuable and priceless lessons from some of the rock stars I've interviewed over the years, like Sir Richard Branson or the late, great John Madden, and I want to share them. Want to laugh? Want to learn? Want more out of life? Then pick up a copy of my book, Heal Your Own Destiny, Increase Your Odds, Win Big, and Become Extraordinary. Get it on Amazon today.